We want to welcome you today to the Wayne County Bible Center. It is July 25th, 2021, and we are continuing our study right now on the storms of life. As we go through them, Jesus said, in this world you are going to have storms and tribulation, but I am with you. I'll not leave you nor forsake you. I've overcome everything you will face. And today we're looking at a sermon or a message entitled, To See the Work of God, John 9, verse 1 through 5. And it's kind of a subtitle, God's Purpose for the Storm. And that's what we've been looking at, different purposes that God has as we pass through life's storm. Because a lot of times we're going to look up to heaven and we're going to say, Lord, why am I going through this? You know, why am I going through this? Get me out of this. And we need to look. There's a lot biblical about this. So I'm learning a lot and I'm preaching to me. So hopefully we'll all be blessed today. John chapter 9 verse 1. And as Jesus passed by. And you can read the entire chapter, because when Jesus heals this man, it opens up a huge can of worms. Goes all the way to verse 41. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, because this false rabbinical teaching had been around since Old Testament times, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And so the false philosophy was that all suffering was the result of sin. That's not true. A lot of suffering in the world is the result of us just living in a fallen world. And Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but he was born blind so that the works of God should be made manifest in his life. Now that's the personal aspect of it. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So that's the deeper meaning metaphorically that I'll touch on briefly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come today, I ask for forgiveness, a daily sin and weekly sin that I confess unto you. And I pray, sweet Lord Jesus, for a cleansing by your blood. I pray to be cleansed by your blood, anointed and filled with your spirit to share this truth. Because, Father, I have nothing to give in the flesh. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to direct us to these scriptures. And then we need your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and be our own personal teacher. So I pray for the freedom of the Spirit to move upon this place, to move upon my mind, my heart, all of our minds and hearts as we hear your truth today, Lord, as we read these verses. Father, bring us fresh insight, deeper insight into our life, our lives with you, in a personal relationship by which you have promised us that we have life, everlasting, full, and abundant. And so, Father, we want to grow more and more into that. The quietness of this moment, let us pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, what do I need to hear from you today? We thank you and we praise you, Father. Amen. John chapter 9, verse 2, the disciples ask, why is this man born blind? Is it a result of sin? Has it been passed on to him because he was evidently blind in the womb, so his parents must have sinned? And Jesus answered, neither Is it because of his sin or because of his parents? The purpose of this man being born blind is that the work of God would be manifest in his life. So the purpose in this individual situation of this man being born blind, the purpose of this man's life in this situation was for the manifestation, the showing forth of the power of God, the goodness of God, and the mercy of God in his life. So I want you to understand, my friend, when you're going through something, when you're facing a situation, you say, why am I going through this? Is God punishing me? Has my sin brought this upon my life? Is it a circumstance of my sin? Am I out of the will of God? Am I in the will of God? You need to consider that more times than not, this is an opportunity that God sees fit to bring this into your life so that He can work in your life. He can work for you a miracle. He can work for you a deliverance. He can work for you a change in your spirit or in your attitude or in your mind. He can take something out of your life like the dross and add something into your life like stronger faith. So as we go through these trials and tribulations, the best prayer is not, Lord, get me out of it. The best prayer is, Lord, manifest yourself, show yourself as I go through this trial. Show yourself to me. Work yourself on me. So that he might experience the work of God personally. Now when you come down to verse 5, look at what it says. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus is going to use this real life lesson with the man being born blind as a spiritual metaphor for people that are spiritually blind. But before he does that, I want you to understand this act of healing the blind man, this miracle of healing one born blind, is a revelation to the nation of Israel that he is the Messiah. The belief of Israel that when Messiah comes, he will heal the blind. Go with me to Luke chapter 4. And when Jesus pronounces his ministry following the temptation in the wilderness, he comes to Nazareth on the Sabbath day. He goes into the synagogue and he picks up the book of Isaiah and he reads this in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind. The recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book, everybody was looking at him, and in verse 21 he says, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. I am the Messiah. So Laman, he's tempted by the devil in the wilderness. He comes out, begins his public ministry, and he says, I'm the man. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. And he begins delivering the captives, healing the blind, preaching to the poor the gospel of the kingdom of God. And so everything he does on a deeper level in the Gospels is a proof text that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. But go back to John chapter 9. And in John 9, Jesus says that. He says, I'm healing this man because I am the Messiah of Israel and I am revealing myself. I'm revealing who I am. But he says this in verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, as you know the story, the man shows himself that he has been healed by Jesus. The Pharisees and the scribes, they doubt it. They bring him before a tribunal. They bring his parents before the tribunal. They want him to not to deny Jesus, that he was the one that healed him. And when he comes down to verse 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talks with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe that you're the Son of God," and he worshiped him. And in verse 39, Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world. You're going to be judged, nation of Israel, in this generation, whether or not you receive me as Messiah or reject me." And every individual Israelite that he came in contact with had that opportunity. "They which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with them heard these words and said, Are you saying that we're blind also? Are you saying that we're spiritually blind and we who are the experts can't see the Son of God and he's standing right in front of us?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would have no sin." You know, if you couldn't see me and see all that I was doing, you wouldn't be held accountable for all I'm doing. You'd be better off if you couldn't see me. "But you are seeing me, but now you say we see, therefore your sin remains." So that's the deeper level of what happened. But today I want to teach this on a personal level of what God wants us to gain as we go through the storm. So John 9 verse 2, his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So in their minds, there was only two reasons for this man to go through this. Either he sinned or his parents sinned. And that was part of an erroneous rabbinical teaching that went back to the Old Testament. And sometimes you hear folks actually apply that as generational sin. And as Tim and I were in a Bible study not too long ago where we showed generational sin exists in Exodus 20, only concerning the first commandment, which would be idol worship and not having, for that generation of Israelites, not having the Lord their God as their only God or the God before every God. And three times that phrase is applied, all three times. It's specific to Israel and it's specific to the sin of idol worship. And it did happen. When they idol worshiped, it affected the second and third and fourth generation because it would get passed down and they would end up experiencing the judgment of God by being carried off in captivity. So this erroneous teaching, though, that grew out of some of that, Jesus is rebuking here. And so he says, neither one of them. And you know, and the Pharisees had this judgmental, arrogant, attitude. If they saw someone, somebody must have sinned. You know, and they're going to name the sins and they're going to add to the commandments and all these legalisms that they brought forth. But notice what he says, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now, I want you to understand something. They had it totally wrong. This thing didn't have to do anything with sin. It had to do with God. Not only did they have it wrong, they had it upside down. They had it switched over. They had it turned backsides forward, and they couldn't be further from the truth, and they couldn't be further from what God's plan actually was. Now, I want you to understand, my friend, with fallen human nature, I can find myself in that same boat. I can be going through something and I can come to all these conclusions and all these opinions. And my friend, I better be careful because I can be totally, absolutely wrong. With certainty, sometimes we think we know that we know this is what's going on, or this is why I'm going through this, or this must be what God's trying to do in my life. And sometimes you just have to put it under the file of Isaiah 55:9. God's ways are higher than our ways, and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But now he'll reveal them to us if we seek him. We humble ourselves and seek him. So go there with me, Isaiah 55. As you go through the storms in life, you want to remember Isaiah 55 right from the get-go. When we're trying to figure out, when we're trying to find a reason, this sickness, this illness is not due to any sin. It's for the glory of God. It's so the works of God can be revealed in this man's life. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow comes down from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and then it makes it bring forth bud, that it may give seed and to the sower, and then bread to the eater." Look at everything that happens. The rain comes down, the earth brings forth, it gives bud, the seeds get cast out, the sower produces bread, and then it ends up with the eater. "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Now, Isaiah 55 verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." That word thought in the Hebrew means purpose, intention, or plan. My thoughts, my purposes, my intentions, and my plan. I want you to understand, everything that happens in your life, God's got a purpose and He's got a plan. You may have got into it without God, but God's got a purpose and a plan to get you out of it. You may have got into it in total disobedience, but God's got a purpose and a plan to get you out of it. Or you may be in it and it's totally in God's purpose and God's plan. But whatever you're in today, whatever you're facing, God's got a purpose and God's got a plan. And you need to understand that and you need to grab hold of it. And we'll get into that in a moment. Now, look at what he says. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways." That way in the Hebrew actually means a pathway or a journey. A pathway or a journey. And then when you get deeper, Zadite says it is a journey that is traveled. A journey that is traveled. So when the Lord's talking about His ways and His thoughts and His pathway, and you enter into a trial, a tribulation, or a storm, I want you to understand God intends that to be a journey. You're going to travel through the thing. The Lord wants you to understand He is speaking of a process, a moving forward, and a time element. It is a process, it is a moving forward, and there's a time element involved. It has a beginning, it's going to have an end. And I want you to understand that. Remember one of the biggest storms the disciples faced? Jesus walked up to him one day. He said, "Let's get in the boat and go to the other side. Let's get in the boat and go to the other side." And as they got in the boat and got halfway to the other side, guess what happened? A huge storm blew up and Jesus is asleep in the boat. And you know what they did? They panicked. And they thought they were going to die. And they thought the boat was going to break up. And they thought they were going to drown. And so they wake up Jesus and they say, "Lord, we're in this storm. Do you not care if we're going to die?" And they forgot what He said. He said, "Let's get in the boat and let's go to the other side." He didn't say, "Let's get in the boat and halfway out there we're going to drown." So I want you to understand, sometimes we're living life like Jesus told us this storm is going to destroy us. Jesus told us we'll never get through this trial. Or Jesus told us this is too much for us to bear. No, I want to guarantee something. The Lord said, "I will get you through, and I will get you through to the other side." So it is a journey, and it is a path or a process forward. Now, notice what happens. Verse 10, "For as the rain comes down, and the snow comes down from heaven, it doesn't go back up, but it waters the earth, It brings forth a bud. The bud gives seed. The seed goes to the sower and the bread to the eater. And the word of God goes out and it accomplishes whatever God pleases, and it will prosper wherever he sends it. So what does all that mean, Brother Leo? Well, when the rain and snow falls from heaven, it doesn't just fall from heaven and go back out. It falls from heaven and it produces results. It brings up seed. It brings up bread. It feeds people. So the bottom line is, as you go through a storm in life and God's got a plan, the plan is that he's going to produce results in your life. Well, what did he do for the blind man? Well, he healed the blind man. Well, what were the results other than the blind man getting healed? Well, the blind man went forth with faith saying he's the Son of God, and then he glorified the Son of God. So the results produced in the blind man's life had something to do with his faith, had something to do with his personal relationship with Jesus, had something to do with him getting a deeper insight to Jesus, and it also had something to do with him having an opportunity to have a testimony to glorify Jesus so others could get blessed. All that, Lehman, in this one little five verses, and here we are in a storm, sitting in a corner, bellyaching, saying, God, get me out of this. God, get me out of this. God, get me out of this. When you take that attitude, you're never going to see all God's trying to produce in your life and in the lives of others. So this blindness was not because of sin. It was so that the work of God could get worked in this man's life. Go with me to John chapter 11. You know what this story is about. It's about Lazarus. I mean, this stuff is all through the Word of God. John chapter 11, verse 1 says this. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. If you come down to verse 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he, Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. This sickness is not unto death, it's for the glory of God. Lazarus sick so God can get glorified. I'm sick so God can get glorified. You go through hard times sometimes so God can get glorified. Amen. You know, we don't look at it that way. Why am I going through a hard time? Why am I having to go through this? So God can get glorified. I mean, that's pretty clear, isn't it? The words of Jesus, this sickness is not unto death, this tragedy, this crisis, but it is for the glory of God that the Son of God might be glorified. Here we go again. You know, how do we see the sickness? How do the sisters see the sickness? They just saw that it would result in death. That was their way. His way, which is higher than their way, say, it's not just so Lazarus can die, it's so that God can be glorified. We see all these horizontal circumstances, and we're not allowing God to lift us into his higher purpose. So in verse 14, Jesus said unto them, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Now that's the first use of the word believe. Okay. So that you might believe. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died. But I know that even now, whatever you would ask of God, he'll give it unto you. And Jesus said he's going to rise again. And Martha said, I know, on the last day. And then Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me shall never, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believes in me, number 3, shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha? 4 times Jesus speaks, believe. So now we're getting into faith. Verse 38, Jesus comes to the grave. He said, take away the stone in verse 39. Martha said, he's been in there 4 days. His body is going to smell and stink. And Jesus said, said I not unto thee, if you would believe, you will see the glory of God. And they took away the stone, and Jesus prayed, Father, I thank that you have heard me, and I knew that you heard me, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, and his face was bound. Loose him and let him go. Verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Number 6 or 7 on the list of believe. So you say, Brother Leo, what are you saying there? Well, I'm saying the death of Lazarus was for Mary and Martha's faith. I'm saying the death of Lazarus was for the disciples' faith. And so all that they went through, it was so that they could believe and depend on Jesus. And they learned, hey, if we can believe and depend on Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead, we can believe and depend on Jesus to do anything. Because if he's got the power of the resurrection from the death, well, he's got power to take care of anything in this life. And to strengthen us to go through anything in this life. Now, don't forget that phrase, the God who raises the dead. You're going to see it used again by Paul in a moment. But I want you to also notice what happened through Lazarus' death. Look at what it says in verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. The ones that came for the funeral, they ended up believing in Jesus. So you say, Brother Leo, why am I going through this? Why are we having to deal with this? Well, maybe God wants to use your storm, your crisis, and maybe God wants to use what you're going through so that somebody can get saved. All them people got saved. Tell I'm from Charleston. All them people got saved. I try to lose that. All those people got saved. But what I want you to understand, they all got saved. And you know, do we ever think about that? You know, Lord, get me out of this trial. Get me out of this tribulation. Or, Lord, leave me in this tribulation long enough so that maybe somebody can get saved that needs to get saved. I mean, in these last 6 weeks where we've been at the hospital with Dad, we have seen nurses, we have seen doctors, we have seen physical therapists, occupational therapists, case managers, ambulance drivers, etc., etc., etc. People we would have never seen. I've had discussions with folks that found out I was a preacher and oh, well, I go to church here in Columbia, or I do this, or whatever. And all these doors have opened. Now, I don't know if anything was said. I don't know if any hearts were touched. But I do know this, that with the story of Lazarus, we need to realize when we go through a storm, it may have nothing to do with anything bad or anything that has happened in the past. It may be a situation where God's trying to build our faith in a situation where somebody else needs to be saved. And you got to look at it that way. You know, we just pray, Lord, deliver me. Lord, deliver me. Boy, I wish this trial would get over. You don't want it to get over a week before somebody could have got saved if you were still in it. I mean, praise God for the hard times that have turned us to Jesus. And it's the same way for other folks. You know, you get a flat tire on the road and somebody pulls up randomly to help you, and before it's over, they ask Jesus Christ into their heart as Lord and Savior. You know, I had a guy in Brevard, North Carolina, he got saved, didn't think he could do anything with Jesus. He was an auto mechanic. He goes, "Brother Leo, I'm not that smart," but he knew the plan of salvation. And he ran his own shop, and just a small shop. And I-40 runs right outside of Brevard, and so does I-26. And so on Saturdays, his day off, he started riding up and down the interstate in his truck looking for people with a flat tire or looking for people that had broke down on the side of the road. And he would come into church on Sunday morning, and there were times, Cameron, he had helped five people. He would help them, he would hand them a gospel tract, and he would ask him if he could have a word of prayer. And I'm going to tell you something. Anybody that changes your flat tire, you might be the biggest atheist in the world. You're going to let them pray with you. Or somebody tries to help you, and he knew people to call if they needed a wrecker service, because he worked right there in Western North Carolina. And what people don't understand, you know, that was a great ministry. I mean, that was a great ministry. But for you and I, you know, sometimes we might be in a hard spot. We might be the one with the flat tire, and the Lord wants us to share Jesus with whoever came to help us. But we don't look at things that way. God's ways are higher than our ways, and I'm telling you, He can use a little ant in an anthill to bring somebody to Jesus. He can sure enough use us. And so we don't understand that God is trying to produce results as we go through these trials and tribulations. And because of what happened to Lazarus, many people got saved. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And you're going to hear that phrase again, the God who raises the dead. 2 got to let these things change your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says this: "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure." I mean, we were in dire straits. We couldn't help ourselves. "Above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." We thought we were going to die. Now, this may have been the riot at Ephesus, or it may have been some other situation Luke did not record in Acts. "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves." Somebody was wanting to kill them. "That we should not trust in ourselves, but we trusted in the God which raises the dead, who delivered us from this situation of death," this great situation of death. He delivers us now, and we trust that He will yet deliver us. Verse 9. "We were in a situation where we thought we were going to die, but we learned not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in God." So what are you saying, Brother Leo? I'm saying that sometimes when you're in a trial and when you're in a tribulation, God is trying to teach you not to be self-reliant, but to put all your trust and commitment in God. Understand that a lot of times we get in a situation and we're just trusting in ourselves. We're just depending on ourselves, and that's the only way we know how to handle a situation. And so self-reliance, he said that we should not trust in ourselves. What's Proverbs 3 say? You know, lean not on your own understanding. There are many times we want to do things our way. We want to do it our plan. We want to come to our conclusions. We want to say, I have figured this thing out. I've got the answer for this situation now. And my friend, that is deeply, deeply rooted in fallen human nature. And that pattern develops in our life. Every situation comes up, we handle it the exact same way. We do the exact same things. We think the exact same thoughts. And they're all horizontal. And so sometimes God has to send a situation into your life where, like Paul, you say, we are pressed out of measure. There's absolutely nothing we can do, and we don't have any answers. As Patty and I attempt to minister to Dad, got him home Friday. Today is Sunday. All I can tell you is God provided today. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm in the pulpit teaching. Patty's in the back with the young people, and Mona and Randy are with Dad. From this point forward, I have no idea what this afternoon holds or tomorrow, but I want to praise God for right now. But I'm going to say what Paul just said. Look what he said. Verse 10, he delivered us from that death. He's delivering us now, and I'm trusting he's going to deliver us later. So that's how God wants you to approach the storm where you don't have any answer. Thank God for the answer now. I want to tell you right now, he sure didn't fail me today, this morning. We're going out over the website. We're preaching the Word of God. We're here with you. And Dad's being taken care of. And all I can ask God to do is, God, allow us to continue to minister in your name and allow Dad to continue to be taken care of. And that's all I can ask for. So I know he took care of him Friday and Saturday with us. He's taking care of him right now this morning. And he's going to take care of him this afternoon. And he allowed Patty and I to meet with somebody yesterday and have a time with Sharon, who's going through a difficult time. And you know, they told us, I told them my situation. They said, well, we'll come to your house or we'll call you on the phone. I said, whatever works for you, we'll meet you right out here. And I'm sweaty and I'm stinking and I'm cutting grass, but that's okay. But the bottom line is, God provides. But you have to learn, look what he says, not to rely, not to trust in yourself. I was working on this the other day, and I read someone's testimony about something they were going through, and they said this, and I wrote it down. Said, I'm finding out that I can't do this on my own. Isn't that a wonderful thing to learn? What's this, Brother Leo? I'm going to say this is life. I'm finding out I can't do this on my own. This thing called life. I'm finding out I can't do life on my own. But some people never do. Don't be one of those people. And I'm talking about even Christians. They get saved by the power of God and the Spirit, but try to live their life in the flesh. Just relying on themselves. God set this trial before Paul so that he would depend only on God, his wisdom, his power, his way, his deliverance. And not only did God come through miraculously for him, it built his confidence for the future. I want to share two psalms before I go today, and I think they're very appropriate. Go to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. And these are the things I cling to, and I read them out loud, and I claim them for my life, the Word of God. And I'm going to read verse 25, and then go back to verse 23. Verse 25 says this, who have I in heaven but you, and there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. Lord, who do I have in heaven but you, and who else am I going to turn to on earth but you? It's you, it's you, it's you. Verse 24, Verse 23, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You are holding me up by your hand. You're going to guide me with your counsel all through life. And then afterward, you're going to receive me up to glory. So until I go to heaven, God's going to be with me and He is going to guide me. Verse 28, it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God in this situation, and then I'm going to glorify you by declaring all your works. Isn't that a beautiful way to live?
Amen.
That's a beautiful way to live, a beautiful attitude as you go through the storms. Go with me one more, Psalm 121. This is one of my favorites. I just love this. I say it all the time. I can't ride through the mountains of Western North Carolina or even when I'm coming back up through Birmingham and you hit those foothills of the Appalachians as they spine on down into Alabama. I just love it. Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, I go out in the daytime, I look up to heaven because that's where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So, not only do you say with Paul, I'm going to trust in the God who raises the dead. I know He can handle what I'm going through. I'm going to trust on the God who created the universe. I know He can handle what we're going through. All that is available unto us. He will not allow my foot to be moved. He's going to keep me right where I need to be. He will not slumber. Verse 5, the Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade on the right hand. Even the powerful sun cannot smite me, neither the moon by night. The Lord's going to preserve me from evil. He's going to preserve and keep and guard my soul and my life. The Lord is going to preserve and guard and protect me as I go out in the day, as I come in the evening, from this time forth until I'm received up into glory forevermore. Life is a journey. His way is higher than our way. In this journey, sometimes we have the greatest joy anybody can imagine. And sometimes in this journey, we have the deepest heartache anybody can imagine and everything in between. But the one constant and consistent is the presence and the help of God. And He's all we got. And He's all we need. So I don't know what you're going through today, but I know it can be used for God's glory. I know it can be used to see somebody get saved and get their life totally on the right direction. I know it can open a door where you can talk to somebody or share with somebody. I know it can be a situation where you can have your faith straightened and it can strengthen and it can motivate you to get deeper in the Word and closer to Jesus. There is not a storm in your life, but that God has a purpose and a plan, and He'll reveal it to us if we'll seek it. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Lord, we thank You for the truth. We thank You, Lord, for what Job went through. We thank You, Lord, for what Lazarus went through. We thank You for the man that was born blind, for the lepers. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for the storm on the Sea of Galilee. We thank You, Father, for the valley of the shadow of death. For, Father, in every situation, You get us through. And You strengthen us on the way. And You can use us to bless others. Father, don't let us waste these wonderful opportunities. Bless each one listening today in this room and on this website. May we all say to you, Lord Jesus, why am I going through this? Reveal to me. I'm not asking in a negative way. I'm asking in a positive way. Lord, who do you want me to help? What do you want me to learn? How can I glorify you? Lord, why am I going through this? Reveal to me, Jesus, and I'll obey, and I'll serve, and I'll praise your name.